Good morning. This is the BOA hearing. Today is Thursday, May 9, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-271-23. The appellants are Sean and Dorothy Mullen, parcel number 1-0197-107-0000-025. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of this board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all the documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a residential appeal. The taxpayer is not, or the petitioner is not present. I'll read from their petition. Terrible lot location. Our house is located at the top of a T intersection, so there is a lot of traffic and road noise. They've added then our view is impeded by new construction. They have supplied four house sales, one of which I note is in mid-2023. So, from what I could tell, the assessor did not use any of the other three. So with that, I guess we'll hear from the assessor.
Yes, so the assessor's determination of value is $641,080 with the effective date of January 1st, 2023. The appellant's concerns regarding the traffic and road noise, any influences due to that would be reflected in the market sales for the area, including the subject's sale price in 2022 for $655,000. When it comes to new construction impeding their partial view, their property is not valued as a view lot. They have a typical residential lot view. They're destined to be, if you look at the listing, there is somewhat of a view over house, you know, the rooftops of homes off in the distance. So I don't know if they're talking about new construction off in the distance, but they're not being valued as a residential lot with a view. And they are located in an area with ongoing development. So new construction is very common. And there are some comps where, you know, they're on the perimeter of the subdivision and they had a pastoral view, but now there's a whole new plat that's being constructed. So there are, you know, it's very common for that area. So again, that's going to be reflected in the market values. And again, we don't forecast any changes in the values. When there is any negative influences, we react to them. So again, that's kind of baked into those market sales. And so any of those negative influences that do arise, we will respond to that. When looking at the comparable sales grid for the assessor's office, we had plenty of one-story with bonus room sales. So that's why we didn't use the appellant's comps A, C, and D. Well, C was a 2023 sale, but A and D, they're one-story homes only, but we had plenty of one-story bonus rooms. We did include comp B, and so you'll find that as comp number 7 in the assessor's comparison grid.
Oh, okay.
I would like to note, So the subject is located in Sunset Heights, and that's a subdivision with land values set, standard lot values are set to 85,000. There are comps in the grid that are where the land set to 50,000, and that's because they're in an adjacent subdivision called Sunset Ridge, and those demonstrate a slightly lower market value. So that's why they're slightly lower. Comp number five, so that was sold in 2022 for $640,850, and then it resold in 2023. So this is another instance where I want to clarify that the adjusted sales price is based on that 2022 sale. And then ultimately...
That's quite a drop, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
640 to 584. Wow.
Yeah, that's the first real drop that I've seen. So with the ultimately, you know, the best comparable is going to be the subject itself. In 2022, it sold for $655,000. And when we look at the assessed value to the sales price ratio, that comes in at 97.9%. So that indicates that the assessed value is in line with that market value.
So question, what was the timing of the construction where the appellant lost part of their view?
I do not know, because there's nothing around them immediately. That is, everything's pretty much built up right in, on their, you know, streets. The only thing I can think of is off in the distance, there may be some construction, but I'm not aware of anything. So I'm thinking they must be speaking of something off in the distance, but I don't know.
And if the appellant really should have given us a before and after picture if you really wanted us to account for that change.
I can show you the listing photo of what their view is. Let me see if I can share here. So this is from the listing from when they purchased it. And I mean, there is a view, but it's way off in the distance. So I'm thinking on that bare land, they're maybe building stuff, but right around them, I mean, they're just looking into the other homes here.
Mm-hmm. So it's, so just
it's not really, I think that's why they said it was a partial view.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The sagebrush, it looks like.
Yeah, that's apparently, but you know, if somebody built where that is now, that would be a little loss.
Right.
But then again, they could have, should have seen it coming.
Right, because that whole area, I mean, they're surrounded by areas where they're kind of expanding all those tract homes and building around them.
Mm-hmm.
If I can pull that up here, can you see this?
Well, the Zillow estimate is way off, isn't it?
Oh, what was that? 7-Eleven.
7-Eleven.
How much?
711,500.
Oh, and that's the current, or?
Yeah, that's they're looking at today.
Okay.
But you see this whole tract here, just southwest of them, that's being built up, and one of the comps is located around here, and they, you know, overlooking all that. So they lost their pastoral view. But it's just inherent in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm good. Thank you.
Chuck, any questions?
No.
Still don't hear any chainsaws or wood chippers.
No, I don't either. So
you're not paying attention.
if they're done, they're very quick.
Okay. Anything further, Peter?
Not from me.
Okay. Marisol, let's close the hearing.
Good morning. This is the BOE hearing. Today is Thursday, May 9th, 2024. The hearing is for petition E-002-23 through E-002-23. 012-23. The appellant is CBYW Canyon Lakes PropCo LLC with the following parcel numbers: 1-1589-101-2172-001, 1-1589-101-2172-004, 1-1589-101-2172-005, 1-1589-110-0005-0000, 1-158-110-0006-000, 1-1589-110-0007-000, 1-1589-110-0008-000, 1-1589-110-009-000, 1-1589-110-0011-001, 1-1589-110-0012-001, 1-1589-110-0013-000. The Board of Equalization is a quasi-judicial body, which means having to do with powers to make legal decisions consistent with other federal and state boards and commissions. The board and the assessor's office are independent of each other. The role of the board is to review the evidence and testimony provided by both parties and determine the fair market value of the property as of January 1st of the 2023 assessment year for the taxes payable 2024. Washington state law presents presumption of correctness to the assessor. The burden is on the appellant to prove their valuation is correct to a legal standard of clear, cogent, and convincing. This hearing is recorded and all testimony is under oath. As clerk of the board, I will now ask you to affirm your testimony by raising your right hand and taking the oath. Do each of you who are testifying today affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth?
I so affirm.
I do so affirm.
I do so affirm.
Following this hearing, the board will meet to weigh all the evidence and testimony and make a final determination. A written decision will be issued to you, which you should receive within 4 weeks. The decision is appealable to the State Board of Tax Appeals within 30 days of the date of the decision letter. The board is in receipt of all documentation provided by the appellant and the assessor, and the board has reviewed it. Chair.
Okay, this is a commercial appeal. The appellant has filed several petitions, all regarding a group of property in the Canyon Lakes area. We would hear these concurrently, since the specific reason is always the same. And the appellant says the market value of the subject property is not in accord with comparable sales, uniformity, the income approach to value, the cost approach, or market criteria. Supporting documentation will be submitted at a later date. It's my understanding the appellant attempted to submit documentation after the filing date, and Marisol informed them that we cannot accept it. So at this point, we have no evidence to review. We have no testimony, as the appellant is not present. So I guess with that, we'll hear from the assessor.
So the location is 2802 West 35th Avenue in Kennewick in Canyon Lakes. It's got 19 structures. On page 3, or actually it says page 1, I have a picture here above, and it gives what each one of the cases are and how they are, on how many different properties there are. Mm-hmm. The land value altogether comes up to $2,315,130. The improvement values altogether, I have down as $20,800,000. and $66,640 for all together, grand total of $23,181,770. There is on page 5, I break it down. I show what each of the BOE cases have and what is on each of those properties. And then at the bottom, I have a total of 10 duplexes, 1 triplex, 1 fourplex, 3 multi-residences, 12 attached garages, and 4 detached garages. When we look over the case, our land sales are the most recent sale of the subject here was back in 2017, February 21st, 2017. It was for $39,470,000. And now, again, it's assessed at $23,181,770.
Okay, so, where do we see that last sale?
It's on page 2. It's at the bottom, the last thing of the summary of facts.
Right here.
Okay.
For 39?
Yeah, $39,470,000.
The reason generally with an appraisal, especially commercial appraisal, this is outside the 5 years, but it's not far outside the 5 years.
Understand.
You just want to indicate.
They're getting a substantial reduction off what they paid for it then, right? Off the valuation?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Continue.
So when you look at the land sale range is $6.61 to $11.85 per square foot. And that's on page
14.
We are at $6.64, so at the very bottom of that range. And the tax rep, he's at $4.43. So he's way below that range. So I'm just trying to keep this quick. So I'll jump over to the sales approach. That one is on page 30. From there, we're way below both the square footage, price per square feet, and the price per bed. We're below on that too. There's one that is a little bit lower on the price per bed, but that one's in Moses Lake.
So it's a little okay, and I see you have one in Yakima also.
Yeah, we have one in Yakima.
Does that seem to be a reason? Well, see, some of these sales are from 2018 and 2019.
Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of sales of assisted living.
Okay.
Usually the rule would be that properties, of this size, these investment grade properties, obviously you use the most local sales that you can, but when they're just as another proof of reasonableness, we will open the circle up. And these are all along, they're all in the central Washington region. They're serving the same customers. A lot of the customer base is either local or, people from the West Side coming over to live a little bit less expensively. So that's where the market, that's where the customer base comes from, is local, which is supplemented by the West Siders moving over to the cheaper market.
Okay. I'm somewhat of the understanding that of these assisted living homes, there's different quality of them. Some have, more amenities, some have better living conditions, et cetera. So the ones that sold, how do they compare quality-wise with the subject?
So Fieldstone, I think we have, I don't have that written down, let me see.
I researched years ago when I lived in Ellensburg. I researched for my father, and I've been by and looked quite a bit at Fieldstone. It's over in the area, over by the Fred Meyers, not on the Union Gap side, but it's in a nicer part of, I don't know if you're familiar with the Fred Meyers on the north end between Sela and...
No.
Oh, okay.
So the field...
It's in a nicer part of Yakima. It's a pretty typical investment grade property, you know. It's a large, professionally managed... You know, by
but where does Brookdale fall in the range? Are they tended considered to be a more desirable senior or assisted living or as compared to Callaway Gardens or Bell Hollow or
You know, all of these are, well, some of them are local, some of them are not field.
Well, let's just speak to the local ones.
Yeah.
I would say it's above average for around here. It's in Canyon Lake, so you got a golf course community.
And I can show you the pictures, and, you know, pictures worth 1,000 years. So they have, I mean, 1,000 words.
Yeah.
But you could see they have a lot of services that others don't. They have these independent living duplexes. And these are right in, you know, and conform with the Canyon Lakes requirements. Up above, you see, you know, it's on a very large site. It's right by Canyon Lakes. And you could look at it from the exterior picture here. And this is a pretty good picture of it. You know, they have nicely manicured grounds. They have the pond with several tiered pond with waterfalls. And you know, it's not a super frilly, you know, they don't have a swimming pool, which is not super common anyways. Usually if assisted living places have swimming pools, it's for more independent living than assisted living. Uh-huh. So they don't have swimming pools or anything, but you know, they're clean, they're well maintained. And
you walk in and there's like their little reception area, but then if you go any further in, then they have this big open area and a big chandelier and you can look out over the golf course and the first level, I think there's like a barber shop or something like that, some sort of hair salon thing.
But in general, then, do you consider the Brookdale complex to be comparable in quality and with your sales above?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Could you show us quick pictures, say, of the other local ones, the Quail Hollow and
I do think we have those in the addendum. I can slide over.
If they're in the addendum, that's fine.
Well, there's also on each of the pages, the next couple pages, like page one there's a small picture of the first Brookdale that's here in Kennewick. And then on each of the pages on top, they have a picture of each of the buildings. So it's going to be pages.
That's right after the comparable sales.
Yeah, right there. There you go. 35. They're smaller.
Oh, I see. Okay, nice. I got you.
Yeah.
So they're not. I mean, they're not run down. They're not super old.
No, they compete. No. They compete.
We weeded out any of them that are the old.
The one on Grand Ridge here is really close to the what is the place, Town Toyota Center or something like that, right behind the administrative building and the courthouse. It's in that area around, and there's a lot of medical around, which is big.
Okay, all right. I think that answers my question.
Yeah. They compete.
Okay.
I would dare say that this sale number 3 Torbit in Richland is not as nice, and it's older.
Yeah.
You can see it's only 48 beds. It's 9 years old. And you know, I wouldn't say that it's run down, but it's not in as nice a, you know, Torbett's not, I mean, it's not that Richland's a bad area. It's just kind of in a, you know.
It's not on a golf course.
It's not on a golf course. It's kind of, you know, it's real busy, heavy traffic all the way around it. And this West Skagit Court is Callaway Gardens. It's behind the youth detention facility there on Edison.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the same thing, it's got residential around and you know, high density, medium density, and low density residential all the way around it. And,
okay.
Know, it's quiet. And this one has the sale number 4, they have more memory care. So their service level is higher than the subject. Meaning.
And that's why the price per square, the price per bed is higher.
That's why the price per bed is higher, because they do memory care, and that's. On the scale of services, that's real hot on the high end, is because memory care, they literally have to, I mean, they have to have, you know, ways to lesbians keep people from wandering off and monitor people. So they got more security. You know, it's just a little bit higher on the service level.
Okay. You, I mean, if we were to exclude that one just because of the memory care, just to make it more comparable, I think that your mean would drop a little bit, but it would still be well above the Brookdale.
Yeah. And I personally looked at this sale number 5. It's kind of up there by the port of Moses Lake. It's a nice facility. It's taken care of, but in the end, the location just isn't here. I would dare say that the land is much, much cheaper. Like I said, it's up by the port of Moses Lake and the airport up there. And the location is not as desirable.
Okay. So if we were to even throw those last two out, we're still in the ballpark then. Okay. So if we threw those two out, they're below the top 3. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we want to round out the comps just to, as a proof of reasonableness. If you know, those, you know, one of those is local, one of them's not. But you know, in the end, still, you know, it and we've asked the owners about their service levels, because most assisted living places, they have a wide range of service levels. So within one facility, you can do independent care, you can do assisted living, you can do memory care, but generally there's like a wing, and we've asked, but they've, you know, they're kind of holding the cards as far as the specifics of the subject. And, I've been asking almost every year I've been here, certainly every year they've appealed, to get a breakdown of their service levels, and they're stonewalling on that, and their income and their leases and all the other stuff that we've asked for, recent appraisals and such.
Okay. All right. Chuck, Peter, any questions? You had a question earlier.
Yeah, I have a real basic question. So when I looked at the appellant's package and they list what the assessor's values are for each one of the 11 properties, and then I try to go to Addenda E, and I get higher values, assessor values on Addenda E than I do what the appellant put. Their petitions.
That's because they filed early before. I think they filed in July. That was before we even had the numbers out.
So the numbers in the Addenda E are your best and final.
So you didn't hear this year?
Yeah.
So the numbers they filed are probably 2022 numbers then?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.
And Peter, just for your education, a lot of these commercial guys do that just for a placeholder. So they can appeal and they throw in bogus numbers, and then we see much different ones if we get evidence data from them.
Okay, that's good to know. I just was having troubles correlating, going between the two documents where the numbers were so different.
Yeah.
And gentlemen, as you may have noticed, this is my first time doing a commercial.
No worries. And we're, you know, we're here to answer any questions that you might have.
Yeah. I also found it weird they appeal before they even know the numbers. So.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, it's not. Some of them are, this is what you call them, frequent flyers, and so they file every year. And I think the fact that they're not present gives some indication that they were pretty sure they weren't going to go anywhere this year. So
yeah, it just seems strange to me. Why would you come in early with wrong numbers and not have a package you could rely on?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why it would have taken them so long to put a package together. So,
yeah. But, you know, that kind of summarizes it. If you have any other questions, you know, we've kind of gone over the cost approach. I mean, well, I don't know if he's gone over the cost approach, but it's certainly there. And
cost approach is there, yeah.
You know, it's...
The cost approach comes out at $4 million more than what we have. For them, it's... Yeah. To me, it's astonishing. They're $11 million under... they seem really low. Kind of the common denominators is that we're at the low end, and they seem, to me at least, they seem ridiculously low. And tax reps, I mean, I keep going back to it, is that they're not licensed. They have no minimum standards that they have to hold up to, so they can put out whatever they want to try to get the job. Also, the tax reps' values, that when we were putting it in, I started looking at it, and They just put 90% of last year's value. I went through, it's down to the dollar, exactly 90% on every one of the PIDs on there. Yeah.
But oh well. Yeah.
90%.
It is what it is. I, you know, but yeah, if you have any more questions, we'd be happy to answer them. So.
Okay. Chuck, any questions?
No, I don't have any.
Peter, any questions?
No, sir.
Okay, Marisol, let's go ahead and close the hearing and we'll deliberate.